you all for joining us. I appreciate it here on Women's Focus. Suzanne, I do want to start with you. Could you just give us sort of an overview of what is Heart of the City? What's the idea behind the whole exhibition?
Well, thank you so much for having us here. Heart of the City is an exhibition and an arts collaboration that's all about the urban environment and specifically looks at downtown Albuquerque and the future of our urban core. And it really asks the question, what does the condition of Albuquerque's urban core say about the heart and soul of Albuquerque?
Now, what do artists have to bring to that conversation?
Well, both artists and young people are the focus of this project, and we wanted to bring together creative ideas about visions for the future, and the future is really about youth, so we wanted to include young people in that dialogue. So the exhibition is a collaborative process. It involves 13 different arts, education, and small business organizations that are youth-oriented educational groups in different ways. And there's a lead artist with each project and a series of apprentices, collaborators, or students who are learning from those lead artists and helping them to create an installation in the exhibition. And some of the installations also expand out to the outdoors downtown with the several public art projects. There's some murals and other projects as well.
Now, that's an interesting idea to tie artists and youth to the health and the vibrancy of our downtown. Why did you want to bring in the youth component?
Well, because young people tend to be drawn to downtown for the energy and the vitality and that sense of potential that they find there. And they're also our future. So we wanted to get their ideas about the future of that urban center that they use.
I want to turn to some of the artists you brought in. Now, I should say this isn't just a show of women artists, but you have a lot of great women artists who are part of the show. So we're here on Women's Focus talking about that. And one is Celia Alvarez Munoz. Celia?
Hi.
Nice to have you back.
Thank
you for having
me. I
forgot we talked years ago when we talked about Los Osiconos.
Yes, I'm one of them.
Tell us again what Los Osiconos means.
Loudmouth.
Loudmouth women.
Malcriada, naughty girl.
Well, Celia, you are an accomplished conceptual and multimedia artist doing writing, photography, painting, installation, and public art. You've been invited to exhibit and create site-specific works for more than 50 major U.S. museums, including the 1991 Whitney Biennial. And you tend to draw on themes of family and communal memories to explore your own experiences growing up Catholic and Mexican-American on the Texas-Mexico border, as well as larger issues concerning the spaces between language and cultures and the histories that connect place to community. And your project in this show is around Borelis.
Yes, it is.
Can you talk about that?
Certainly. And we are meeting in the Borelis neighborhood. This is working classroom that is right off of, it's on Atlantic.
Off 4th Street.
Off 4th Street. So that's one of the main arteries, you know, very important historic artery.
It's part of the Camino Real.
It's part of the Camino Real. It's the Route 66. So, yes, we're becoming very well acquainted with the history of the place and where it's been and where it might probably go. And so the kids become well-versed and somewhat invested, you know, in the future plans.
For people who don't know about Ellis, can you talk a little bit about its history, its importance to Albuquerque?
Oh, my God. That neighborhood goes all the way back to, you know, the land grant issues, the beginnings of Albuquerque, and it is right next to the railroad yards, which played a major role in developing and disrupting communities. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we're offering a yin and yang view to the whole notion of development and the sprawl, how a city grows and what happens to certain areas as it grows.
The rail yards were a huge economic driver in that neighborhood, right? All the families worked there.
Yes, it was the railroad labor force, you know, that lived in that area. And as we know, that's a major, full pun intended, machine for the whole U.S. and international scene. It was the rail yards. But, of course, we develop our roads that displace that type of traffic, and major highways get built, and neighborhoods get cut off, or some incorporated into other in form. So there's the whole transitioning, juxtaposition, you know, type of dynamic that takes place. And so the kids are becoming well aware of this.
Now the rail yard is closed. I mean, there are all these efforts to try and redevelop it. It's been used for movies, but that's nothing like having a full-functioning operation there employing hundreds of people. Now, Bareilles' economic future sort of declined with that when the rail yard's closed. So what are you trying to do with Working Classroom around this whole area?
Well, expose them, number one. A lot of the kids are not from that area, so we have walked the neighborhood. So, you know, we have physically come close to the development, and the possibilities. We talk about urban development and what could be, you know, there in the railroad yards as a major development. I mean, I come from the Metroplex, Dallas-Fort Worth, and have been in several cities that, you know, have that happening as I speak. And some cities have been extremely successful in that transition. Bareilles is unique in that it is still a home place for some original families, and that there's a coalition, a group of citizens, you know, that are meeting regularly to partake in this development, because much of it is changing, much of it remains the same. You know, what to allow to change, where the investment has gone, you know, whether it's going to stay in the community. Those types of notions, those types of transitions that I think, you know, as students, when we're young, we walk through places, but we don't know too much, you know, about what's happening. Look at that octopus theory of roads, you know, or of a central place, and as its tentacles grow and what it affects. So we're seeing that it might be lassoed in, you know, there's an opportunity for it. And it's that corridor that goes all the way to the river, and the river, the main artery, you know, from where townships started. So the kids are becoming very well acquainted with that.
And what do you hope is the ultimate project or outcome?
I think Lisbeth can tell you a little bit more. She's one of our artists, a young woman that is fully committed to her education and to art making as well.
Okay. Liz. She's tossing to you, Lisbeth. Come up to the microphone.
Hello.
This is Lisbeth Miskles.
Yes.
And you are a high school senior.
Yes, I'm a high school senior.
And you've been with Working Classroom for a number of years. So talk about what you've been doing on this project, the Bareilles neighborhood.
So like Celia said, we've gotten acquainted with the Bareilles community and kind of went around and took in the specific details that there were and, you know, different, like, the landscaping, and we started thinking about what our connections were to the Bareilles community and how our stories were similar to people who lived in Bareilles.
What kind of similarities did you find?
I feel like a lot of us at Working Classroom have a similar story of immigrant parents who have come to this country, you know, for a better future. So I think that's a big part of the Bareilles community as well.
And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Women's Focus here on KUNM. I'm Megan Kamrick, and I'm here with Suzanne Sparge from 516 Arts and several of the artists who will be part of the Heart of the City exhibition project that is opening very soon. And Lisbeth, talk a little bit about Working Classroom for a minute.
So Working Classroom is a really amazing place. For myself, I've been there since I was 12 years old. I'm 18 now. For me, it's been a place where I've gotten to stay in touch with my culture. I think that especially families that come, me coming from Mexico, once we're here, we tend to lose our culture. And Working Classroom has really helped me stay, like, connected to that. We do a lot of art, obviously, a lot of public art, and a lot of art that has to do with something meaningful in our culture, in the world, and what's happening, you know, at all.
How are you translating what you've learned there into this project with Celia? What will people see when it comes to fruition?
So we're going to have three main elements, which will be signs, words, and images. And we're going to try and convey our stories and what it means to be part of the Varelas community in the gallery, the 516 Arts.
At 516. So, mm-hmm. Okay. And those are pieces that you guys are creating from sort of the oral histories you've gotten from the residents, from work you've created, from photos?
Yeah, so we actually just had a member of the coalition come and talk to us yesterday. We got a lot of history and a lot of facts as to what's really going on and what the plan is. So that's definitely a big part of it, and a lot of pictures, too.
There's been so much hit and miss on the rail yards. There was this big push. It's going to redevelop in a big movie studio. And there was this enormous, I remember several years ago, enormous speculation about this. And all of a sudden, property prices were going up in Varelas. And there was this fear of gentrification. Now that plan has sort of gone by the wayside. What's happening now?
There are plans. I know that there's been some speculation and some buying out of the property. But as far as the railroad, with such a romantic place, too, I know that some artists are going to go in there and do actual work, time pieces that have to do with photography. Ours is an installation. Part of the railroad story will be in our installation, you know, but not a literal interpretation. This is art. They're learning to interpret, you know, and use mm-hmm. a more poetic form instead of a straight documentation of, you know, the dynamics at stake. So, yeah, it'll be an installation, a full gallery, full space installation, you know, will be part of it. There is some ambivalence because I'm taking them through an artist's process mm-hmm. of ideation, you know, first ideation and then brainstorming and then collecting data and then we are editing and then ultimately it's coming from them. They're the ones that are shaping this project. You know, I'm guiding it, but they are themselves gathering everything and having their voice be heard.
Go ahead, Suzanne.
Oh, I just wanted to backtrack for a moment and tell you that the rail yard redevelopment is something that the city is exploring. The planning department is in a process that's a very long-term process. But Petra Morris, who's a liaison in the planning department focused on the rail yards, she'll be speaking as part of Heart of the City at the public forum on Thursday, February 13th at 7 o'clock at 516. So folks can come to that and hear more about what's going on with it and ask her questions as well.
Oh, great. So it sounds like this is interesting. This is, maybe this is representative of everything going on in the show, Suzanne, but you're sort of exploring an area, but you're using this as a vehicle, Celia, to work with these young artists at Working Classroom to teach them sort of disciplines about art and while rooting them in a place?
Yes, yes. Okay. Yes, I do several of those residences here and there, wherever there's a need or a call for, you know, if there's something that is a big transition in the place. It's art making that comes from another angle. Yes, and there's a lot of us artists that dedicate ourselves to responding, you know, to these dynamics, not just making pieces, but working with community.
Yeah, it's the social practice term that I've recently learned and realized that we've been doing a lot of that over the years at 516 Arts, but it's a whole movement in the art world that involves community engagement and artwork that involves communities and addresses needs in communities.
So it's a much more abstract, I'm sorry, it's a much less abstract idea of what art can be. It's almost
yes,
an
activist.
Okay.
Yes, it is very much an activist response.
German artist Joseph Beuys, he coined the phrase social sculpture, which transformed the idea of sculpture as an art form into a social activity. So that's informed a lot of artists working in that field of social practice. And we'll also be having a well-known social practice artist come and be the keynote speaker for Heart of the City. That's Rick Lowe will be coming on April 19th to the Outpost. He founded Project Row Houses in Houston that transformed that community and really revitalized it through art.
This seems to be a little bit more dynamic of how art can be intimately involved with revitalizing a city or keeping it vital, because you hear sort of things like, oh, you know, you have events and you bring people down to the art and everyone mixes. And we've seen that happen at 516, but this seems a much more sort of rooted or fundamental intertwining of art into these processes. It's very interesting.
Yeah. One of the things we wanted to do is get people talking from different sectors. And there's all this good work going on around downtown. There's a lot of great artists and youth organizations working downtown. And then there's all the planning process. There's the university that has the whole City Lab architecture project downtown. But what we were finding as we looked at these different groups is they didn't know what each other were doing necessarily. There wasn't a lot of communication going on between artists and community activists and planners and
this is exactly the silos that the Bureau of Business and Economic Research identified years ago in their study about, right, the economic impact of the arts.
Yeah.
In Bernalillo County, there are all these silos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to stir up the pot and have folks talk with each other about these visions for the future, share what they're already working on, because many of us don't know what the others in this subject matter are creating.
Can you talk about what you've taken away from all this yet? I know you're still in process, but
Definitely, like Celia was talking about, is the artistic process. It's been a new thing for me, and I've learned a lot just from all, you know, there's so much research that goes into it before you can know what you're going to do and what you're going to want to say, which is something I've really gotten to take out of it. And it's a lot of hard work, and it's a lot of deep thinking.
And I just want to step in for a minute and say this is Women's Focus on KUNM. I'm Megan Kamrick, and I'm here with Suzanne Sparge from 516 Arts and three of the artists who are involved in the Heart of the City project exhibition that is opening very soon, multifaceted, as so many things often are at 516. And I want to turn to our writer in the room, Dehondra Grill. Did I say that right?
Dehondra
Grill. And you helped found with Carlos Contreras the organization Just Right. Can you talk a little bit about what you guys do with that nonprofit?
We have a focus with underserved populations in the education sector and those who are incarcerated. And our primary focus is to provide the tools and forum for healing and human connection through the creative process.
Can you talk about why writing is such a powerful tool for reaching these communities?
Writing is a way to reflect on who we are, where we've been, the present, where we are, and where we're going, and just look at things that we are important in our lives and where we come from, culture, our identity, and contemplate where we are and where we're going. So I think that that's really important for everyone.
What is it like going into incarcerated situations and introducing people to writing who, you know, some people may have never writing something they didn't think they could do or they didn't like?
It is as beneficial and healing to us, and I think I can speak for Carlos, as it is for them. It's an amazing experience because they are in the point in their lives where they're seeking and searching, reflecting. Once we sit down and write and they can create, they are in that place of reflecting on decisions they've made or where they've come from, experiences they've had, pain in their life, and where they can go, you know, and it creates an environment that is, it's a safe space and one that is unlike what they are typically exposed to outside of the room that we come together in. And we really built a community in there and everyone on the same level. I mean, we consider them, the adults that we work with, our peers, because they are definitely some of the most talented people that we've met. I think anyone who's had struggle and faced a lot in their lives have a lot of feeling and emotion behind that. And when that comes out, it's very beautiful and very respected.
Can you talk about, you're having an event at 516 in April featuring some of the folks you've worked with.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. We're going to have a performance, poetry performance there. And we, at the Metropolitan Detention Center, we work with inmate writers and artists, and they will be performing via projection.
Oh, so we're going to see them from video.
Yes.
From inside the jail. Oh, okay.
So one thing that we do is I take in documentation equipment, and we use video to enhance the process of our exchange, which we have a writing exchange with University of New Mexico. We've had one with Georgetown University in Maryland, and writers and artists in the community. So that's all on our website. And we have a youth exchange as well. So that allows a dialogue to take place. And it's been a really rewarding experience. And I have a background in women's studies, so we partner with the faculty here in women's studies. And it's a powerful, Chicano studies is also part of that, and it's a powerful dialogue. And so to get back to the performance, this is their forum, and we, Carlos and I, will be a part of it because we are all a part of this community we've built, and we all share with each other and dialogue with each other. And so we'll all be there, and they'll be there in projection. And if we also stay in touch with them when they get out. So if they are out, they'll have the opportunity to contact us and come and perform with us.
And is your website justright.org?
It's right? No Wrong, Just Right.
No Wrong, Just Right.
WRITE.org.
Okay. One of the things I love about their project is that it focuses on the future from another angle than many of the projects by the inmates really looking to their future after their release, because they get released into downtown Albuquerque. So that's very much a part of their future and downtown's future as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is definitely obviously at the heart of this. And we had a series of workshops where we contemplated the tangible and metaphorical transition of, you know, they actually are released downtown when they get out. And also just the contemplation of from isolation to freedom. What is freedom? And what is a downtown area to them? And you're going to hear a lot of beautiful poetry from them about the heart of the city, the downtown area, the neighborhoods, the where they've grown up, and you know that they talk about place and identity, culture, food. You know, we reflect on all these things that are important, where they are now, where they've been, where they are, and where they're going. So I think a really important component is that their reintegration back into society is you know, very important for the city and for them and for us and all of us. And how they're, you know, I think the end product of this is hopefully that people will see the humanity behind each of these unique, talented, soulful human beings and the potential there, and we can lift them up, you know, when they are making this transition and contemplate on where we are in that, all of us, you know, where we play a role.
You anticipated my question I was going to ask you. Why, you know, this is interesting to include this community in a exhibition where you're talking about the future of the heart of the city.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's very much about potential and what's going to happen next. I mean, downtown has been in a very transitional state for probably as long as everyone can remember. And there's wonderful progress, and then things sit for a while and it goes up and down. And we just wanted to sort of light a fire and get energy and focus on this issue of the potential of downtown and what it can be.
What do you hope to come out of that, Suzanne? It sounds like you've had a pretty ambitious hopes for that, well, not just creating this cool thing for a few months where people come downtown.
Well, we really see, like the heart that pumps oxygen through the body, we really see this a successful downtown as enlivening the whole city. So we don't see downtown as isolated. We see it as interconnected with everything. And it should be celebrated, and people should be involved in it. So we see this as an opportunity for not only for folks who already are involved downtown to show what's happening, but also for people that don't come downtown to come and check it out through the eyes of artists and young people and engage in the dialogue and experience some of the positive things about downtown. We definitely have an optimistic view. Although downtown has its ups and downs, we really want to envision a positive future for downtown Albuquerque that'll continue to be a great center for Albuquerque, but also the urban center of the whole state.
Let me play devil's advocate for a minute, just because there's been a lot of people who've taken these runs at great things downtown. So, you know, in other smaller communities, it's sort of like they've been abandoned. The artists come in and revitalize it. But do you guys really think you can make something happen when so many others have not?
Well,
anyone can answer that, but go ahead.
We're not striving to make a huge tangible difference right away. What we're trying to do is get people talking about ideas for the future and communicating. So the more people can communicate and work together from different angles and mixing it up so that it's not just planners on one side, but there's more people involved in the dialogue, I think the better that will be, and it bodes well for the future.
I just wanted to say that I think that's the other beauty of, and you talked about voice, but I think the beauty of this is that there are all these voices involved, especially those that, you know, in our case, it's important that voices are heard that typically don't have that platform or space to be heard. So I think, too, in this whole project, that people hopefully will hear about this, and you know, everybody cares about their city and where they're living, and hear about the things that 516, the people that they're bringing together, and want to experience all these different things happening and beautiful creations, and support that and come see that.
Yes, Sally.
Well, there's hardly ever exhibitions that deal with the city itself. You know, it's these other ideas, these other abstracted ideas, or they take the landscape, or, you know. But I think Albuquerque is right in line with a new focus in inner city development. A lot of cities are being very, you know, they're working their way into it. And some are going faster than others, but the notion of having more people in a concentrated area to produce friction, to create that energy that we have lost, you know, by the sprawls. Everybody's isolated out there, and we hardly, you know, touch each other, or yeah. And here in the urban area, you hear a heartbeat. You're forced, you know, to rub elbows next to other human beings. And I think we're trying to bring that back as major cities focus on the trend, you know, and we're hoping that those that are at the helm can begin to, yes, to awaken and say, hey, you know, we're getting commentary even from the arts groups, and maybe we should focus. And maybe there might be some invitations here from arts group into the decision making process to have a say so in what a city, you know, should be, and an inner city should be.
Ms. Beth, has this changed the way you think about your city at all, doing this?
Yes, it really has. I think I've learned so much. You know, I think, you know, I learned in, like, New Mexico history in eighth grade that, you know, we were part of Route 66 and the Camino Real. But I had no idea that Barelas was a part of that, honestly. And I had no idea that Barelas was very economically strong at one point. You know, to me, it's always been a really poor community, and I had no idea. And I think it's taught me to be more educated about the community that I'm part of, because I'm at Working Classroom, you know, almost 3 times a week, you know. So
that's great. Well, I want to thank you all for coming and talking about this. I've been talking with Lisbeth Miskles from Working Classroom, and Celia Alvarez Munoz and Yandra Grill, and Suzanne Sparch from 516 Arts. And Suzanne, give us some quick stats on what, where, when.
Okay. Well, the opening of the Heart of the City exhibition will be on Saturday, February 1st from 6 to 8 p.m. And there'll be some terrific music at the opening and refreshments. It's going to be quite a celebration. And then throughout the next several months, there'll be public programs relating to the exhibition. There is a series of public art projects, and then there are talks and forums and panels. And people can find out about all of that at our website, which is www.516arts.org, or they can call us at 242-1445.
Well, this is great. Thank you all for coming on Women's Focus.
Oh, thank you for having us.